that are not Americans, there's a lot happening outside of the United States of America that is driving mobile. And we call it global. It's a global religion. It's globally local. Okay, so fasten your seatbelts. I'm going to take you through some interesting examples. And now, I thought I'd start off by showing you this slide. Interesting. Now, have any of you ever wondered why Western Union is a money transfer agent and not a phone company? And why AT&T is? Well, the reason is exactly that. The people that led Western Union in 1878 made the decision that the phone was never going to be a viable instrument. However, people at AT&T, which was still effectively extant at that time, and still is obviously today, very big, the number two in America, not number one, but still very big, that was the reason that Western Union didn't get into the phone business and the telegraph business. But they did do wire transfers, but just interesting for you to note that. And sometimes major examples happen just like that, that historically one goes this way, another goes that way. Okay, so here's an interesting bit of information from UNDP, United Nations Development Program. And of course, what this says is pretty much self-evident, but what I'd like you to concentrate on is the last line in this slide, which talks about mobilization. And I'm going to show you some examples from mobilization, but it's the new global religion. And why I call it global is because global is really what is happening all over the world. It's not just the Arab Spring, it's in India, it's in Africa, it's in Latin America, and effectively mobilization, mobile devices are really growing at an extraordinary rate. Just under 7 billion mobile phones, and over the next 12 to 18 months, in addition to mobile phones, there will be 50 billion connected devices that talk to each other or are connected, like interactive television sets that talk to a phone, or in your car. From this year, actually, after a 7-year development cycle, when you get into your car, your phone and the Bluetooth that enables something to be sent to you over the air will allow music and or film or television or something to go into your sat-nav in the front seat, bringing music through the front speakers and film and television in the screens in the back. So, let me show you a few examples. Oh yes, I'm a screenager. How many screenagers are there here in the audience? One, two, three. No, that can't be correct. Those are the only few screenagers here. I know there are millions, in fact, billions of screenagers all over the world. So I would actually venture to say that every single one of you here today is a screenager. Do you think that's possible? Yes. That was rather muted from a few ladies over there. Yes, 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 yes. Okay, well, let me show you what a screenager is. That's a screenager. A screenager. And that really is a very fundamental trend that is happening worldwide. Of course, it's happening in America, obviously. But if you look at the rise of tablets, those of you who paid anything more than $300 for a tablet, you're not in such good shape, because in India, they've just launched a tablet in the educational system that's going to be retailed for around $40. A tablet like an iPad, slightly smaller, looks like the BlackBerry Playbook. I don't know if any of you have seen that. But basically, the tablet, or the television set, or the mobile phone, or any screen that is near you. You know, research has shown that when people watch television, they're also looking at their phone and also working on their iPad. So screenagers are we. Screenagers are you. So, okay, let's take a look at some examples. Let's first look at the top 10 in the world, top mobile penetration. Look at these numbers here. Of course, China, number one. There's one phone company in China, China Mobile. 660 million subscribers, one phone company. Can you imagine having an accounts problem with China Mobile? 300 million, give me a break. Okay, number two is India, growing at 15 to 20 million subscribers every month. 15 phone companies in India. What do you think the most popular form of entertainment is on mobile phones in India?
Bollywood,
it is going to be. Bollywood, that's what it is. Bollywood, very popular. But of course, what's even more popular is
voice communicating and, of course, text messaging. And text messaging is absolutely vital worldwide. Just in America alone, last year, over 2 trillion text messages were sent, and it's growing at an exponential rate every year. Okay, USA, only 327 million, but expected to grow. And America has about 40% of American phones are now smartphones. So smartphones are like the iPhone, or like the Samsung, HTC, BlackBerry, what have you. But in the developing countries, the BRICA countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South America, Africa, feature phones, that's not smartphones, are still very much in place. Only about 15% of the world's phones in developing countries are smartphones. But effectively, with smartphones, you have mobile connectivity. So the big revolution that's going on all over the world is that when there are smartphones growing like crazy, people that were never ever connected before will be connected to the mobile internet. The implications of that are immense, as I'll show you in a few examples. Indonesia. Who would have thought that Indonesia is number 4 in the charts? Pretty good. 200 million people, 150 million subscribers to telcos, but 250 million people with phones. Maybe it's the Muslim culture that says you can flirt, chat up your girlfriend or boyfriend, but you need a separate SIM card to do it. So much so that new phones in Indonesia have got 2 SIM cards. One for your work, the second one's for your mistress. No, not quite. Okay. Brazil, very important, and of course with the World Cup and Olympic Games, next cycle coming through, but Brazil, very important. Russia, amongst the highest penetration of phones per capita. People there have 1.7 million phones each. 1.7 phones each. More than one device. Popular, same in the Middle East and the Gulf countries, Bahrain, Qatar, Dubai, and of course North Africa, the Maghreb countries, very important. Nigeria, very important country in Africa, 200 million people, biggest in Africa, 150 million subscribers, only 90 million phones, but growing like crazy. So those of you that like reading the Billboard charts, these are the phone charts, and learning something of value. So take a look at this, the evolution of information communications technology. If you have a look at that slide, I hope you can see it clearly. It comes from the UNDP, but it shows you effectively on the left, the number of mobile phones are about just on 6 billion at the moment and growing. And by the way, those who are interested in mobile, every February, the Mobile World Congress, which is the great big daddy of anything to do with mobile, where all the new trends, new devices, new everything in mobile is all shown. And look at the difference between the number of mobile phones and the number of people that are connected on the internet. And of course, if you look at the developing countries, in Africa, for example, barely 7% of people are connected to the internet. In India, where you've got a population of 1.2 billion people, 100 million on the internet, 950 million on phones. So the implications of this for designers, for creators, for futurists, for people who think about the future and how people communicate with each other is really, really telling. Okay, here we are. Which country in the world do you think is the leader in mobile money, mobile commerce, and mobile payments? Is it the United States?
No.
I'm afraid not. Where do you think it is? It's where Barack Obama's father comes from, Kenya. You can see there a slide all about M-Pesa. So M-Pesa started about 2.5 years ago. It now allows you as a Kenyan, well, effectively, in fact, an African, to be able to pay for anything. If you want a Coca-Cola, you want to pay for your kid's school fees, you want to buy some furniture, you want to pay on the bus, you just point and click your phone and you pay for it with your phone. There's been a big rush in the last 4 months in the United States. Visa just spent $110 million buying an African company called Fundamo, to make Visa have much more mobility. What you'll see in the next 12 months is way, way more mobility and payments on your phone. Okay, here's an interesting thing from India. A lot of corruption in India, unfortunately, both politically and sociologically. Someone decided with their phone and text messaging to set up a site called I Pay the Bribe. The police get to find out which area the bribes are being paid. It gives them a check on the police to see which police are corrupt. It's a very, very successful campaign. It's almost similar
to what went on in Kenya with a wonderful site called Ushahidi, which helped in Tahrir Square in Egypt for... We've seen some amazing changes with handsets, interesting things that you can do with them, mobile television, mobile everything, and I'll show you a few examples of what the handsets can do, but before I do, check out this and see what teens and tweens spend their time on every day and why mobile is absolutely vital. The number one group a couple of weeks ago in Billboard was a group called One Direction. I think that might be the name. See, there's some female fans there, but interestingly enough, the bulk of their fans never ever knew a world before mobile or a world before YouTube. So if you look at what teens and tweens are doing, some even actually use their phone to text while they're making love. I found it quite difficult to do that myself. Of course, your boarding passes, that's not common in the United States. Conversation coming slowly to the United States. Student employee ID cards, of course, your ID on your phone with a barcode on the phone, very common now internationally. Multifunction cards, clearly very important. E-money, as we spoke about with M-Pesa, now spreading fast all over the world. Online payments, you can now pay everything on mobile. E-tickets, for you want to go to Madison Square Garden, you'll be able to get your tickets as you can do now, actually, in the United States, so well done in the USA. Consumer electronics products, where you can communicate. You can even use your phone to charge the battery in your electric car. Believe it or not, your phone in the car will help your battery charge. Of course, keys, where your phone is your key and your ID, and loyalty points, and two important things. One is augmented reality, which I'm going to show you on right now to close this off. But also, I want to tell you about something called Global Vocal. I was speaking to Lady Gaga, because I work with some well-known musical artists, and I said, hey, Gaga, you've got Born This Way, such a great big hit. Why don't you record that song in Hindi? Because there's a new way you can do it and make your mobile fans understand your music in Hindi. She said, how do I do it? I said, this is what you do. You take a track of Born This Way, you take that track and you give it to some Indian lyricists to write a lyric in Hindi that approximates to the rhyme and the rhythm of Born This Way in English. You get an Indian person to sing the lyric in Hindi. Then you take Gaga's voice and you digitally wash Gaga's voice over the track. Net, net, what do you get? Lady Gaga singing in Hindi. Without being in the studio. It's not Milli Vanilli, it's using mobile technology to get local, globally local, because people in India, people in Brazil, people all over the world know who Lady Gaga is, a great American, know who she is, but can you imagine if you can sing with Lady Gaga in your language, on your phone, karaoke app, 30 billion apps so far downloaded on iPhones alone, 30 billion, if you were in Brazil, you could be singing with Lady Gaga in Portuguese. So, augmented reality, what is that? Those of you who have never seen augmented reality, imagine that you're looking across Lexington, down Lexington, at some buildings across the street. Here's something, I think this is actually in Europe, but suffice to say, this is when you pick up your phone and the GPS in your phone automatically connects into an image that's built into your phone. This is for a real estate agent selling that apartment on the top floor of that house for 678,000 euros. And when you construct augmented reality, basically when you're looking through your phone, it will give you a picture and an interaction that is simulated by the GPS coordinates. And I want to end up by just showing you a couple of video clips from the advanced research labs at Sony in Japan, from one of the world's top augmented reality specialists, a guy by the name of Kei Shimada, who works every day on augmented reality for the way that products can be augmented unrealistically, realistically. So here we are, let's have a look at this, see if this works. Here we are, okay. This is from the Advanced Research Lab, and the whole idea with augmented reality is this.
Come on, come on, come on. Japanese. It's going to go read. Okay. So when you're making augmented reality, you are filming a grid that allows you to basically get imagery, and then through the workings inside your phone, it allows the images to become alive and to look completely different, but effectively to be activated through the technology in your phone. So what this is doing, what you're seeing here, is effectively programming on a grid-like structure that then allows the image to be implemented directly into your device, so that you're getting a reality that is augmented by the technology in your phone, by the coding on the GPS satellites, and now you're getting things like interactive billboards and posters. For example, if you get in the bus down Third Avenue and you see certain posters with a SEMA code, a code that you can click on the code, that would bring you the technology into your phone to allow this to you. So this is actually in the construction lab. You can see the way that you actually do the architecture of augmented reality. It looks quite difficult when you see it, but in essence what this is digital architecture for the new age, for the mobile age. And what's going to happen in the United States over the next 6 to 12 months is you'll see more and more of these examples of when you just put your phone up, like you can be in Times Square, and you can see which offices are for rent, which tickets are still available on Broadway, and stuff like that. So you can do lots of different effects on it. There's one, for example, in Japan, where if you put your phone up in certain parts of Tokyo, there are butterflies that you suddenly see flying across your phone, of course, in the screen of your phone, and you catch a butterfly and it gives you a coupon to go and get a discount for a product. This really shows you exactly what happens with a product where you can take a picture, let's say in a supermarket, of a product. Now it's in the phone, you've got the augmented reality in the phone, and it can give you some kind of real, unfolding, new experience with the product. Can you imagine the benefit of this to marketeers? But this is a way in which mobile technologies, certainly in Japan, this is happening all over the place, from Sony, which is not make-believe, it's actually making and believing. So, that's just a few examples. Thank you very much, Jeff Palmer. We love you.
Collectively backstage, two things. First of all, our minds were blown. Second of all, I'm so glad there's smarter people in the world than me. It's my honor to introduce to you now two very interesting people that are going to talk to us about a new way to communicate, a new wave of journalism. The first is Tim Poole, and he is a social media journalist, one of the 100 most influential people according to Time Magazine. And Jennifer Preston, who was the first social media editor from the New York Times.